And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. Well, tonight, you know, we really do have to get you back more often, but tonight we are blessed with having Dr. Lori Moore, and you are probably one of our favorites, and we just have this great connection, so I'm always happy to have you on the show. So welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. I always love coming on the show because our conversations are so joyful, and the way we connect feels so delightful and harmonious to me, so it's my pleasure to be here.
Yay. So the last time we talked, I mean, you've kind of come up with this new program that's sort of reinventing. It just sounds so wonderful, and I so hope to join one of these teleclasses soon, but your newest program is Success Love Now.
Yes. Success Love Now has been developed because people would frequently say to me, you do so many different things. And I would be surprised because I think of myself as doing only one thing, assisting people to create their dream lives while spiritually awakening. So meeting the practical and the spiritual at once. And because I work with animals and people and have different ways of doing it, it wasn't clear to people that really there's one basic offering. And I wanted to make that clear, but I wanted to do something else as well. I wanted people who were having these miraculous experiences when attending the events to have a way to go home and reproduce that on their own in other areas of their life. So I started to look very carefully at what were the primary tenets involved with the people who are able to take what they received, take the shifts and transformations they received at my events, but then expand on that on their own in their real life. And I wanted to make sure these were tenets that worked for people of all ages, people of all cultures, people of all colors, of course, people of all backgrounds, men, women, beliefs, people of different belief systems, people will sometimes ask, I'm on a certain spiritual path or of a certain religion, is this appropriate? And yes, this is a very universal work that I do to meet anyone who feels love in their heart, who feels goodness is a value. And so I came up with 8 different principles that I realized over my many years of work, my decades of work, had been the main basis of why people were transforming, why they were eliminating self-defeating habits, why they were able to achieve deeper and more consistent states of love, of peace, of joy, of care, of kindness, of laughter, and why people were able to change problems, change a couple's relationship with a lot of trouble into honeymoon, change ongoing chronic problem with their own body into a peaceful relationship with their own body, change a dream that wasn't reaching fruition to a dream that was coming into life. And so the Success Love Now, it's success-love-now.com for people who just want to look at some pretty visuals and read more about it. success-love-now.com teaches 8 principles that allow you to awaken spiritually and achieve your goals at the same time, so you can walk in the world but be of the eternal.
Nice. And so this is a common problem with a lot of people. They go to, you have incredible workshops where if people can do it, I mean, it can be an entire month where they can be, in the energy and meditating. And so that kind of intensive is always life transforming. And of course, the biggest challenge is, what do you do when you get back home and you enter your real life again? How do you bring that state of bliss and all the transformation that can occur at a, never mind a month, but even a week, and sometimes even a weekend, where people, have these incredible shifts, but then are not able to carry them through in the rest of their sort of daily life. It's like we know better, yet we always get caught up in not being able to, you know, we get caught up in life, and we forget all of the wonderful things and the way life can be if we're not stuck in fear, or we're not, you know, worrying about this, or stuck in the past, or worrying about the future. And so this program, from what you said, was really to set up to assist people to kind of live back in their daily life.
Exactly. It's a program that if people use in their real life, if they keep these principles on their mind as a practice, instead of all the random thoughts we tend to think during the day and all the miscellaneous ways we direct our emotions, not even realizing we're directing them, then people will find that they become more of a creator in their own life through a real process of a deep surrender to universal flow. And the people that I do a lot of work with, people one-on-one in addition to the seminars, and I found that the people who benefit the very most from their private work with me go home and practice this, because the same thing happens. I talk to people all over the world by phone, and during the session there's always shifts and changes, but some people will come back and report a number of additional shifts and changes that happened during the week. And I found that the people who were reporting those really took an active role and were using what I had taught. And without putting it into one form, Success Love Now, I had been teaching these 8 steps for decades. So as you said, we all get caught up in what is happening in the environment and habits and conditionings. And when we have guidelines and tools that bring our mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional into our co-creation with life, we can create life as an art project that is very fulfilling, that fulfills the dreams our heart most deeply yearns to experience, manifest, and create. So these 8 steps, which people can learn with me one-on-one, not everyone likes a class, or they can learn in the joy of a group that meets on the telephone, and we have 8 weeks in a row where we meet for the first level 1, where people start to use the practice and immediately begin to create changes. I get so many beautiful letters from people, even after just the first week, and more by the 8th week, of the changes they're making in their life, the deeper happiness and joy, connectedness they're feeling, and the practical changes they're making with their relationship, with their job, with their day-to-day living, with their habits, with their own body. So it's a great way to really make improvements of happiness and success in a way of love, in the beautiful gift we have of living life.
I'm not going to ask you to give away all your secrets, but can you maybe talk about one of the ones that you think is, you know, maybe key in assisting, you know, people to make some shifts?
Yes. Step number 5, which is the witness, is an invitation to people to watch the movie, feel, hear the movie of a situation that they have decided is non-preferable. So when we go to the movie theater, or watch a DVD these days, we tend to look at it. There's a certain acceptance that for that hour and a half, or however long that movie is, we are going to accept that reality. It's not that we 100% think it's real, but we slip into thinking it's real. It's not that we necessarily think this is the greatest movie director and my favorite actor and actress I've ever seen, or maybe we do, but it's just that we give ourselves, we literally surrender our heart, our soul, our mind, our being to being a reality. And we don't sit back so much and judge it. It's more like we relax into going with the flow for that hour and a half. Maybe later we have judgments. Maybe we don't, maybe we do, but we go through that. So I ask people to do that with a circumstance in their life that, first, that is a non-preferable one. So maybe somebody's really struggling with a conflict with a sister-in-law, for example, and they're thinking about it over and over, and they're wanting to change it, and it's not changing, and I ask them to watch a movie of it with the idea that it's fine, that it's valuable exactly the way it is, that it is the way it is meant to be in this moment, that it is something out of which good is coming, but they have to just stop and watch it and accept the movie, accept that movie director's movie. They're actually the movie director. Time and time again, when people do this, they encounter a feeling of peace with whatever they were struggling in before. From that peace, many good changes are able to come that couldn't come before. Even if many changes don't come, there's no longer a frenzy or a frustration or a need for the change with the intensity there once was, because the peace is already there. People often try to change situations thinking that will get me to peace. Instead, this helps, this number five step, the witness, helps the person to go back to peace. When you're in peace, you can create beautiful, beautiful circumstances and occurrences. So this is step number five. It's very much like the Buddha. I could call it the Buddhism step. It's a step that people report time and time again deeply when practice shifts their reality. And so, just for people who are tuning in late, it's step number five. We're talking about Success Love Now, and you can look up Success Love Now at success-love-now.com. The 8-week teleconference is coming up soon. A new one is starting February 16th, so this is perfect timing for people to sign up and jump in and start making those changes they've been yearning to make.
And when I listened to you talking about the witness, I mean, it's really, and I think you hit it, you know, very clearly that, you know, a lot of the times we're out trying to change everybody else, or, you know, it's always somebody else that, you know, we have no control over, and that's why we get this, you know, frenzy and fear, and, you know, we play it over and over again of how we could do it differently, and, you know, how we could make changes, and, you know, we're always sort of trying to change everything that's happening instead of just being in that state of surrender and acceptance that, you know, this is exactly the way it's supposed to be. The places that we're in, you know, are there because they're helping us work through, you know, maybe our own shadow, our own mirror of how to accept instead of trying to always change everything. But it really becomes, you know, being in charge of our own emotional response instead of, you know, being in constant reaction mode.
Thank you. So wonderfully put. What happens when we start to turn that process inward, using step number five, and there's other steps for deepening that more somatically and emotionally, is we start to find there's so much goodness just wanting to envelop us. And these steps are very real to my heart. I practice them and live them every day, so they're not just theory. I have learned so much about this from being in relationship. I'm very in love with my beloved mate of 11 years, Ray. And I feel our relationship has been a great teaching for what love is, as opposed to concepts that I had growing up from movies or whatever. What I found in my relationship with him, which is a very beautiful relationship, it's very rich and deep, and it's very positive and gives us very much. And when conflict has come, time and time again, I found that my first inclination, as you were so astutely talking about, is to think I need to change what he's doing. And when I stopped that, I found over and over this beautiful opportunity to change what I'm doing. Not just what I'm doing, but how I'm thinking, how I'm feeling. And when I've used step number five, what has happened miraculously is that instead of being in that frenzy of thinking, oh, a conflict has come up, I'll just show him how he needs to think differently, I shift into an acceptance of our differences, and I found that there's so much love. I found that I'm being loved so deeply in times when I didn't notice because I had a preconceived concept of how a conversation was supposed to be or how a decision was supposed to be collaboratively made. And that's not what the universe had in store. And we both found by using that step together that we meet in a new place of creation that's far more beautiful and free and flowing than either of our original ideas. So this step, as you said, is such a great way to break that habit of thinking the goodness is going to come by us telling others to do it our way. The goodness is going to come in a mysterious new way that the universe wants to birth through us rather than our own will and preconceived ideas of what will bring an expansive love and peace. And this just, I work with so many couples, and this just turns things around over and over. Combined with the other steps, this just turns things around and back into such a love and goodness over and over.
Hmm. Yeah, I imagine that the rest of the steps, but it is such a powerful place to understand, you know, that we do co-create, that we are in this place together, and certainly relationships are definitely the way we've chosen to grow, certainly on this planet at this time, because, you know, otherwise we'd be on the mountaintop in a cave and all alone, and we wouldn't, you know, we'd do our own growth. But, you know, I'm, you know, a big believer that we're here to grow together, and certainly whatever is occurring in the next few years with all the shifts that have been happening, and we're really moving more into, you know, developing this interconnection with everything. And that's what you were talking about earlier, about how we all, you know, animals and people and everybody is coming together, plus the earth herself. And it's just this very unique time, and certainly to understand how we are so interconnected and so in a place of co-creation to allow things to happen. It's just so amazing, because I really believe so many people are trying to control their lives, me included, when we get caught up in it, because we're trying to make it go the way we're wanting it to go, instead of just allowing the universe to make it so much better than we could ever even really truly imagine.
Yes, I'd like to talk about what you bring up about that tendency to try to control rather than allow the universe. In terms of a common archetype that's really coming up strong for people, I think the last year is the betrayal. Betrayed, betraying, betrayal. I've found people coming in a lot because they felt betrayed. Someone was going to be one way and turned out to be another. A situation appeared to be one way and turned out to be another. A contract, a feeling that I'm healthy and suddenly having some odd health problem. All kinds of feelings of betrayal, especially feeling betrayed by other people. And the Success Live Now steps are a really great way to turn this around, because betrayal is extremely painful. And we all know that when we're feeling betrayed, it's very hard to move. It can become, either we feel like we just can't trust, we get very anxious, or we feel stuck because we're afraid. We feel what happened, our efforts have been thwarted. We tried something good and something so painful came in return. And it's very hard for people to make peace with that. How could that have happened? And so I've been finding recently that these eight steps can really turn a person around so they heal from the hurt of betrayal, and they come out with a new innocence, with a new gratitude, with a new understanding of the so many different elements that were at play in the betrayal, other people's motives that may not have had anything to do with their understanding and their own bringing forth a situation to help them learn a deeper sense of self-regard and love, or a clarity about who and how and when to create with on the planet. So I've been really grateful for how the Success Love Now steps that people can learn with me one-on-one in private sessions or by signing up for the phone conference at success-love-now.com can turn this around for people. It's definitely been a big theme in my life, in my entire life. I've had a tendency to impose very strong ideals on all kinds of situations without looking first to see who else is involved in this. Do they share my ideals? And I finally use these steps to turn that betrayal experience that I would have more often than I would like around. And I'm finding I'm now in co-creation in ways with people that I'd yearned for years and almost started to give up on are just happening with little effort from doing that work, from using those 8 steps. I know so many people are in pain over betrayal, and I'd love to have people receive help and turn this around. It's an important theme, and it deserves tenderness and attention.
You know, that brings up a whole host of thoughts that come up with it, but I mean, betrayal is one of those places when you really feel you've been betrayed. You know, it's hard to shift that experience to allowing you to see a bigger picture because you're so caught up in, you know, what's happened to you. We're such a victim mentality society that, you know, that victimhood, and I mean, we have commercials all the time, and there's something that's going on in Canada where they're, you know, trying to help victims in, you know, with their lives. And it just, it's so promoting that somebody else has done something to you. And it's a really hard to understand sometimes that it's not about, you know, blaming the other person. It's, you know, taking that responsibility. It certainly isn't about blaming ourselves either, but it's like being able to see it from a, you know, this bigger picture of what gift it's giving you and how it's shifting and changing your life. And, you know, a lot of the times, whatever it is, those most painful pieces are certainly, you know, where we can make the biggest changes in our own lives or can receive the biggest gifts spiritually.
Thank you for saying that and having such a lovely positive attitude. This brings up another step number 3, because often when we're aspiring to have a very beautiful, holy attitude like you so well described, we're not sure how to emotionally and somatically and spiritually really embody that. It's a challenge. We wish to be responding in one way, but our feeling life is responding in another way. And step number 3 is a surrender through the body into whatever is occurring without any judgment on it, just a surrender into it. And I got to use step number 3 very, very deeply in Molokai, Hawaii, where we were for the most recent satsang, where many crabs were involved.
Oh, yeah. I loved reading that.
So for people who are listening and don't know, I include the animals very much as my teachers and role models, and they're a big part of my seminars. And this is the first time we had crabs attending. We've had cats, dogs, birds. we didn't know. They did not pre-enroll, but they were there. Hundreds of them. And these creatures are so amazing. How they live naturally with reality, how they take the time in solitude with complete awareness of their synchronicity with all the others. But they take the time in deep solitude, they build their holes, and they really feel deeply what their relationship to all life is. And as I was spending lots and lots of time with them, I began to do the same. And I found myself naturally using step number 3 to work on resentment, to work with resentment. Resentment is something I had judged in myself, so I had been fighting it. And yet there it was, part of me, just like it is part of everyone. And I found in the support of the crab's magic that I could stop fighting myself and simply begin to feel the reality of resentment that was in my own being. It was a loving tenderness, and picture upon picture of situation upon situation from many different times in my life where I felt resentment but fought it off began to move through me. And as I allowed it deeper and deeper, I simply noted where it was. It was in my heart. It was in my chest. And rather than fighting it, I started to melt into it, just allow my consciousness to be there in my heart, my chest, my ribs, even down into my belly, sometimes up into my throat. I began to melt into it, and the resentment shifted to a helplessness. Mm. I was not aware it was there. And as I allowed myself to move into the helplessness, I felt softer and softer. I felt more and more loving and tender, and I found myself praying for help in ways I had never prayed. I had always tried to do what I needed, to pick up the pieces and do the best in some hard situations that had come and gone long ago, and I thought I'd made peace with them, but truly they were still alive in my body. And as I prayed in the helplessness, I felt so deeply cleansed by light and found this new contentness at a much deeper level. And I found when I came back from Molokai that in places where I felt a resistance or a lingering resentment, it was gone. There was just a compassion and tenderness for each person on their own path, and how when times my needs and their needs had crossed in ways that we weren't met, the resentment was gone, but it wasn't because I willfully tried to maneuver it away. It was quite the opposite. I used the Success Love Now step called surrender and just put my consciousness fully into the place where the resentment lived. Didn't act out on it, didn't tell anyone about it. Just like the crab, just was so present in the moment with what came up. I watched the crabs have their houses taken away every day as the tide came in. No complaining, no psychotherapy, no fussing. Just being, and they built a new house, but, you know, built another hole.
You sure there wasn't another crab coming out and helping them and saying, okay, come on, you can do it. You know, that's what I love about you, Lori. You know, there's so many... I want to word this nicely, but there's so many people out there that try and teach you to just be detached and, you know, to live in this place where, you know, everything is wonderful because, of course, your thoughts create your reality and, you know, you have to really be very conscious of everything that you're thinking and you need to change it and you need to, you know, be very diligent and being very positive and open. But in reality, the more we try and do that, the more we are pushing these deeper states. And by you diving in, you were able to go to an even deeper level. But, you know, if we keep trying to detach ourselves, if we keep trying to pretend they don't exist, they just come up. And
yeah.
They, you know, they don't go away that way, you know, like it, and it becomes more and more painful until we can really, you know, dive in and surrender.
Yes. As we spoke, Jesse Just Enjoy the Cat came in, and he was also commenting on what you're saying about how when we dive in to what we resist and surrender, it we find a shifting, whereas if we keep trying to manage it, it doesn't. Jesse was just celebrating. He was so happy to hear you on the phone, and he was telling me how, reminding me what a big... being of love you are, that the archetype of love is so strong in you, just permeating everywhere. So I wanted to thank you.
Well, thank Jesse too.
And, you know, as he was talking and you were talking, I was thinking about how we do hold these archetypes, each of us. Some people just emanate with compassion, some with love, some with playfulness, all kinds of, some with forgiveness, some with joy. And when we stop fighting that, we also emanate others. I know I emanate like I said, I was emanating resentment, and I had to move into it, and it started to melt back into a love. And if I had been fighting it, it, as you so well put, it just would have kept growing, which it did until I sat into it. So these practices, there's always more. There's always more. I mean, I've been using these practices for years. They've changed my life in every way inside out, and yet there was a place I had overlooked that I got to really experience such a shifting in beauty from practicing. I do want to thank Gangaji, the teacher, for step number 3. I feel so many teachers brought this step to my attention, but she just, my meeting with her helped it to deepen it so profoundly. I really wanted to acknowledge her in this moment.
Nice. You know, I think one of the biggest issues people have with surrender is the word, because they think that that means they have to literally let go of something, and we're so conditioned to cringe when we have to change, cringe when we have to let go of something. And so people really, I believe, misunderstand what the word means. And I think it's been an interesting, certainly for me, understanding what it means. And I'm not, you know, I'm not the best at, you know, a lot of these things. I practice them. And I'm very aware of when I'm in resistance and when I need to, you know, understand what it means. But, you know, I think people really have this issue with understanding what surrendering is about.
Yes, let's define it right now to help people understand that it's not some pushing to let go of something. It happens quite naturally when we face whatever is. So sometimes we can surrender to something that's deeply wonderful. I'm sitting here right now, and I'm just asking myself, what is my experience of this moment? And basically, I'm feeling warmth. And when I surrender to the warmth, what that means is I'm really giving myself fully to it. I'm giving my heart, my body, my mind, my soul to this moment of warmth. I'm personally feeling it very deeply in my chest, my heart. And I'm noticing as I really allow my consciousness to just go with that, it opens up into wave upon wave just of eternal warmth. It feels like going, it feels like becoming a vehicle for the source of eternal warmth. And when something uncomfortable comes, I'll pick something right now. I banged my elbow and have a little pain in it. So right now I'm just going to allow myself to be fully present in that place, in my elbow that's having some pain. And what I'm finding as I do that is waves of energy are actually starting to soften it. And this is really interesting. I'm actually beginning to feel some pleasure and bliss there as I give my full concentration. So surrender is not dispensing away what we think needs to go. It's being completely present with what is. And then what needs to leave and what needs to come happens naturally. Really, that's happening already. A flower is going to grow and it's going to wilt, like every person. This surrender experience is starting to slip fully embodied into that, into real life in motion, outside of concept of what life is, into real life in motion. It's a treasure. I don't know anything more exquisitely delightful in this state. I'm not missing anything. Everything is here. I'm not seeking something else. It answers all I'm looking for. I invite people to experiment with this. And if it turns out to not be of benefit, let it go. But I believe people will find very beautiful treasures. It's a connection back to divine being. And having the support to do this and the guidance of understanding is such a wonderful gift. So I encourage people to work with me one-on-one in a session or in the 8-week teleconference. So it's not a theory. So you just really get the support you need so it becomes something you give to life and life gives to you. And once again, it's success-love-now.com gives information about the teleconference where you can get the support from anywhere in the world. You can call in.
Nice. Yeah, I think that, you know, one, having a support system is huge for these times because it just you know, we really aren't supposed to be doing this on our own anymore. I mean, I'm not sure we ever really were supposed to, but we certainly have this individuated aspect where we, you know, our ego believes a certain belief, and that we are this separate being having this very individual experience, and we're really not connected to anything because we're this being that we think is all of life, and that everything is evolving around us. And it's really hard when you're in that concept, and there's certainly lots of people that, you know, if you ask them questions, can't really, you know, imagine how to be interconnected, or imagine, you know, being that present that you can surrender into moments like this. So we have this kind of almost consistent battle with ourselves, although I don't know that all of us do, but where we're trying to be individual beings because we have a consciousness in this individual being, and yet we're also this much more expansive being that allows non-physical beings and animals and everything to be so connected.
Yes, there's a mechanism in the human mind that allows us to think we're each the center of what's happening. Which is really funny, because truly there's billions and trillions of life forms, from ant to plant to person to sea to other stars to life forms we don't even know about, not only on other planets, on our own planet, deep in the forest, deep in the seas. But we can name thousands if we start to name all the insects and animals and elements and minerals, etc. And so each of these is a reflection of this one source. We're each a reflection of something far greater. And when we are able to experience that, life becomes very luscious and delicious and moving. I find that this step number three has taken me over and over out of my smaller self and back into eternity, experiencing wave upon wave of eternal, holding my smaller self, tenderly loving my smaller self, Lori, the reflection among many reflections of the universal love.
Yeah, and it's funny because, well, maybe not all of us, but we've all had those experiences where we do feel that interconnection, and we do know, and I'm amazed when I think about it and go, okay, why don't you try to be there like all the time? Why is it that we boot ourselves out and we go back into believing, you know, this interpretation of our experience, which is always so diluted with pain and fear and just,
yeah. Yeah. It's not a good habit. it's a habit of the human race. It's a habit. And yes, we all yearn to remain in the eternal. I feel these eight steps. When I'm stepping out of the internal, I really discipline myself to use them so that more and then more and more of the time, being in the eternal just comes naturally. When you practice something, in time it begins to practice you. When you practice compassion over and over and over and over, even if perhaps compassion was hard for a certain individual at first, over time it becomes easy and they don't even feel it's a practice anymore. Over years, you know, compassion is practicing them. So we have the tools, and the more we use them, the more it turns around, and eternity does have us.
Yeah. It always feels so nice talking to you because you bring back that aspect that we can all connect in with. And I mean, that is definitely one of your gifts, to, you know, to reconnect us when we're not feeling in that place.
Thank you. It's always so wonderful when we talk, the two Lauries. A kind of softness and love to the hour. I really enjoy this.
Yes. Now, I want to ask a question, and this, I don't know if this is going to take us out of this moment, but, you know, because you do animal communication, what have you been getting on these very bizarre things that are happening with the animals?
Well, I think we've been warned for a long time that this time in history was going to be extremely powerful, and that huge waves of light would come in and huge waves of dark would come in. Many spiritual paths, many religions, perhaps scientists have let us know that this time was coming, and it's accelerating right now. So as we tune in to the divine, as we surrender in the way of which we're speaking, what first happens is more and more qualities of the light come in. And these qualities get more and more extreme. So the light starts to feel lighter, the kindness starts to feel kinder, and the contractions start to feel more contracted. So there are many contractions on the planet. You know, one day we think there's a peaceful demonstration in Egypt 2 days ago, and then yesterday there's, horrific, basically like a war taking place. And maybe I shouldn't call it a war, but fighting, murder, you know, violence. Mm-hmm. So it's going to accelerate more and more and more, and everyone's going to be asked. They are being asked. You know, no one's going to knock on your door and ask you, are you going to go with the kindness or the contraction? But you're being asked, everybody. We are being asked by ourselves, by the universe, by the divine, where's our commitment? And it's going to get stronger and stronger. I mean, come on, it's pretty silly. What I look at all these people fighting and screaming and doing violence, and I'm thinking to myself, is this fun? Are you enjoying this? You know? Yeah. And somewhere along the way, someone forgot that, no, this isn't fun. They're not enjoying it. As we harm others, we harm ourselves. So there's going to be a lot of playouts, and we're all in this together. We can't, the animals are not separate from the plants, who are not separate from the people, who are not separate from the minerals or the angels, the masters, whatever form they appear in. We're all one. And as the waves of light come in, everyone is affected. As the waves of dark come in, everyone is affected, and the word perfected wanted to come out. It is a perfecting process. It's asking us to perfect what do we want to practice. And sometimes we are affected by waves of others. I feel animals can be extremely serviceful and holy and put themselves at times. It could be complete innocence, but sometimes when you talk to the animals who have been in very bad tragedies, you find some very amazing Buddhas and teachers who are holding states of kindness, compassion, in the most horrific, extraordinary horrific experiences that are blatantly getting people's attention. Come back to help, come back to call for mercy, come back to compassion and kindness and grace. And some brave souls are standing in places where we really speak to their souls rather than our projections of what we think they're going through, that are helping to bring people back, because finally people will listen. And that doesn't excuse our bad behaviors that can lead to bad things happening to animals. But sitting around and getting mad at ourselves and telling ourselves how horrible we are doesn't do anything. Tuning back with the animals who are in compassion towards what's happening brings out our compassion, and then we help and we do good, and we start to shift a much bigger problem that shows up in animals. Just like when people will call me, I got an email this morning and someone said, oh, our dog's peeing all over the house, could you let me know why? And I said, you're going to have to give me permission to talk to you very candidly about some things going on in your own life, you know, that you haven't mentioned to me, and so I don't know if it's my place to mention them to you, but your dog is trying to get your attention, so can we speak about this? There's no judgment, but there's a call, there's an opportunity to shift.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've heard some people say that because the magnetics on the planet are changing, that that's affecting the regular trajectory that animals sort of move by, so that if the magnetics shift, then how they, where they, what they used to follow, then takes them into a place that is going to cause death or damage.
I believe that is accurate, that as the environment has not been respected, has been hurt, and magnetic waves and other chemistry waves are changing, it causes chaos and confusion and disharmony that's calling forth the opportunity to come back home to our hearts, to respect for the planet's resources, for the earth, for the animals, that there can be, with all the power that we've used to cause distraction, thus chaos, we can use that much power to bring ourselves back into an ecosystem of living on every level that includes the magnetics and everything else that's harmonious, if that is where many of us start to place our focus.
Right. I mean, I'm curious. The planet is shifting, and I'm not sure that has necessarily anything to do with, you know, what we have and haven't done. Sometimes I think, you know, the planet herself is just going through different shifts, and that, you know, we all at different ages have, you know, the planet's changed and we have to move with it. Now, we certainly aren't in harmony with it, and I'm sure that that is blocking us from being able to make, I guess, the choices that would allow a more harmonious transition. But we certainly, and I think it's all kind of, like, I mean, I believe that if the Earth wanted us off, we'd be gone, because I think she has that kind of power where, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, I do know that we are making some really bad choices. And I also think that by us not being more aware, maybe more interconnected with the planet herself and with everybody that's living on it, because we certainly aren't, you know, we're not viewed as top dog on the planet, although we certainly believe we are, that we have to find ways to work together.
Thank you for this very wise and genuine awareness. What you said has brought to my attention that much of what's happening isn't necessarily caused by what we've done or not done, but that the planet is in herself in a shift, and this is affecting all of us. And when there's growth, there's growing pains, and there's a natural divine confusion as we retune ourselves, as we listen deeper to what is the planet asking of us. We literally have to allow our entire beings to retune to become something else. This is a beautiful opportunity to listen very, very deeply to our Mother Earth. As you said, she has the power, if she really wished, to have us all off of her, to have that happen. The divine one universe has that power, and who is mother of that, of Mother Earth. And so we can see the beauty in this time to tune to something different, to something new. We don't know what it is, to follow our inner guidance in many ways. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, I find it really, well, humbling, because, you know, for so long we have, you know, used and abused this planet, believing that we had that right, believing that we were so evolved and in and empowered and have the power. And I often wonder, you know, what more we could be doing in a way that would truly allow us to, you know, because the animals, they know when certain things are going to happen. I mean, I guess when whatever's been occurring, and I'm not really 100% clear with what's going on with the animals, but, you know, generally they know to escape when a tsunami is going to hit or an earthquake, or, you know, they know because they're far more in alignment with the earth than we are. And we sort of take everything for granted, believing that we're this, you know, superpower that we have this right to abuse and do all these changes and not think about how it's affecting everything around us. But at the same time, I am aware that everything is shifting. I mean, it's not just our planet. Every sun everywhere is going through some, you know, bigger changes than we really understand.
Thank you for saying that. It's very moving and inspiring to remember that every planet, every solar system is going through shifting, and the animals are such wonderful role models of tuning in. They listen, they feel so deeply, they know where to be when, much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
As you gave the example of the tsunami, we remember so many of the animals who went up in advance and understood. And we wish to be in harmony with source creation in that way. And I feel inspired in this moment to simply have a prayer and ask that myself and all others who feel this inclination, that we open ourselves to much deeper guidance and attunement to our Mother Earth, to the seas, to the divine creation, her, himself, whatever name we use for that, whatever religion or spiritual path we're in or not in, whatever name is right, whatever master teacher we want to acknowledge, I ask that we be brought deeper and deeper through our heart and soul and all of ourself into an attunement that allows us to know how to work in cooperation and harmony as the shifts happen, so that we can create goodness, that we can align with values and structures that support the continuing of the species. Some people say, oh, it wouldn't matter if the species were gone. I understand that. I understand that all species have a beginning and an ending. All planets have a beginning and an ending. But I feel that also the human inclination to keep going is a chalice. It's a vehicle for much deeper goodness to be cleansed and washed into the human being, and that attunement that we see in the animals to come back to us, because I believe that there have been, and still are, many tribal communities and many times in histories where that attunement was much greater, and so many of us are called back to that now, are feeling. I know I go to Hawaii frequently to teach because Hawaii helps me to remember and come back into that kind of a consciousness. So I pray for all beings that we come back to feel the beat of the heart, the one heart deep, deep in the earth, and the heart that is the universe, that we come back to be here for that rather than think that was here for us. We'll come and go so quickly, our individual lives, but that one heart won't. And I just pray to be in service, to be a servant to that, and let all my other concepts of who I think I'm supposed to be replaced with a bigger serving of that.
That's beautiful. While you were talking, my little boy decided to come in, who's getting much bigger these days and is very, very much playing right now. So I'm thinking he's wanting to say something, but I'm not so great at.
And his name is Jasper.
Jasper, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Jesse and I will talk to Jasper, and everyone will hear silence for a minute, and then we'll let you know. Yes. Okay. So Jasper has gone through a lot of changing since we've last talked, Lori.
Yes.
Jasper's really coming into a more adult resonance with his work with the stars. And I didn't know about this work before. At least I don't recall him mentioning it. But he's in a very playful understanding of the light of the stars. And he's really just wanting everyone to send out. He wants us to send out a call of joy, of peace from our planet to the stars and many other planets. We might not have reached knowing who is on these other planets, but they are our friends, and he wants us to call out so that planet Earth is sending out a message of goodness. to these other beings in miles and miles away, yet in the heart only not even a second away, right with us.
Nice. Yes, he's quite the kitten. Not that he's a kitten anymore. He's almost three, but I still see him as a kitten. But he's a playful one.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he took him 5.5 months to move from the roof to going down my staircase, which has been... he's seeming to get himself injured all the time, but he's enjoying it. He's a funny boy. Well, this has been wonderful, and, you know, I know that we're all doing, you know, some really deep and important work on allowing us all to become in alignment. And I know that your work is so, it has so much compassion and so much love and so much joy within it. So I really do, I want to make a commitment that we do a couple more shows a year so that we can continue to play with this energy and to allow this energy. And just, you know, you're doing so much. You have this whole list of places where you're doing some television. Are you still, is that,
yes,
still happening?
Yes, I'm just about to. There's been some unexpected delays as things
of
go,
course.
But I'm within 2 weeks, we're going to do another shipment, and 3 new episodes will be played on, I think it's about 30 stations now, all over the United States, and we have possibly one in Canada and Barcelona in the works. So those are also listed at success-love-now, witchtvstations.com. And Jasper and Jesse are chiming in, and what they wanted to share is that they would like to invite us to feast and feed and give ourselves to that eternalness where we see the stars, to go out at night and look at the stars and feel that eternalness, and from that give our participation, give our service to the human race. When we put the conflict of the human race first, we get confused and muddled and mixed up. But they are reminding us that when we give ourselves to eternity, and the Success Love Now steps help one to do that, then we come from this great, we're so full that we fulfill. We remember this oneness, and so our lives are about fulfilling energy of goodness into others, as we really do the truth of our own inner work, of arduous practice, disciplined daily practice of making our changes. I just want to mention my phone number for people who are
Absolutely.
Feeling like I don't, instead of a class, they want to meet with me one-on-one by
Absolutely.
Phone, and it's 831-477-7007. It's 831-477-7007. I want to thank you. I would love to take you up on your offer to have more conversations this wonderful 2011 special year. On the radio so many can benefit. And I'm so grateful to be here with you and Jesse and Jasper today. It's been magic and delightful. You're such a beautiful soul. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you. And I just have to make one more comment. All the noise that I was hearing that I thought was Jasper, and I do believe he's around, but it's actually a black squirrel that's come into my house.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Wonderful. And this, I just want to mention, the squirrel is speaking about peace right now.
Oh.
And so the message is peace, yes.
It wasn't exactly what I was looking for when I turned around, because it sounded like he was on the mirror, which he was. It was a squirrel.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, once again, I love having you on. And so, yes, let's do that. And let's continue the beautiful, joyful, and loving connection that we have.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So we will have you back soon.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.